The voice guy is lying to you. There is no Dave. There is no Katie. There is simply a Nate. That's it, and I'm not even lying to you. At least Matt's in the other room over there. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
Matt George is with me, Nate Goodyear, today because Dave is, he's in New Orleans. He had scheduled rest today. That was his deal. Katie is in New Orleans as well, but due to some, I don't know, clerical, technical, administrative, possibly errors, she's not going to be joining us, which means you out there at 6:03 a.m. are my hostage for the next 3 hours. Think about how exciting that's going to be on a Friday. Treat yourself on a Friday to 3 hours of me. And I'll talk about sports, and Matt's going to, you know, hopefully laugh at some of the things I say or argue with me on a thing here or there. But we got all kinds of good stuff for you because it is Friday. The Final Four is taking place tomorrow, and there's also a big matchup in the NBA tonight. It is the Kings and the Pelicans facing DeMarcus Cousins for the first time. You heard the audio in the update there from Matt. We're going to make sure that we get to that and talk about it plenty. But among other things, we will be joined by Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports. He does play-by-play for just about everything, which is fitting because they're all things that we're going to be able to hit today with baseball opening day on Sunday and the Final Four. Justin does both college basketball and baseball for Fox and for Fox Sports 1. He also does some college football as well. So Justin Kutcher is going to be joining us at 7:30. And among other things, you know, 3 for Madness, the Morning Brew, the whole deal, plenty of college hoops throughout the day. And we normally start, Matt, with a bunch of nonsense, and that's kind of how we're going to do it today. Are you all right with that?
I'm in.
Okay, cool. The first thing I want to get to before we do any sports, do you hear this story? It's been all over the place about the Indonesian guy and the snake.
Oh, the one that, yeah, I'm not going to spoil it, but yes, I've heard it.
Okay, so this, I don't know how to pronounce this, there's got to be someone out there that can help me with Indonesian. But this 25-year-old gentleman named Akbar went missing on Sunday. He was leaving. It says he was leaving to harvest palm oil. This story I've got is courtesy of BBC. So he disappears. No one knows where he is. Eventually, somewhere yesterday, 2 days ago, the cops get a tip that they had found a giant reticulated python that was reportedly 23 feet long and swollen. They feared that the python had eaten the man. There's a video out there of this, Matt. I don't know if did you actually watch the video?
I've not seen the video. The first I heard of this story was actually driving in today. Gio and Jones were talking about it with Scott Pollard.
Okay, yeah, it's terrifying mostly because the cops are cutting open the snake. And this snake ate the dude whole.
No.
Like, you slowly start to see his boots and, like, his clothes and his pants and stuff. Just swallowed him whole.
Is the dude still breathing in there? Is he all right?
No, gone? He's not. He is not. Akbar did not survive. The quote, residents cut open the belly of the snake and Akbar was lifeless.
So no Jonah now, and the whale thing, huh?
No, this is a no Jonah. This is a 23-foot reticulated python. I'm not into snakes. There's no other way to put it. My first roommate when I was down here, when I moved to Sacramento, had a ball python. And it was not, the coolest thing about it was feeding it mice to let it feed. And I didn't even do that. And if you walk into PetSmart and ask them for mice to feed your snake, they'll look like they want to call PETA on you. I had no idea. It's not my snake. I didn't buy the mice. I'm just saying that was the most interesting thing.
Guilty by association.
Right. Well, probably. Anyway, this dude gets eaten by a snake, and that was disgusting. So let that haunt your nightmares here.
Well, hey, if you want to keep going down the deep rabbit hole that is the dark internet, I saw on Twitter the other day, if you really want to be disgusted, and sorry, listeners, for anyone who doesn't want to start their morning with this, but there was a guy that went into a shed, and a rattlesnake was in there, and he was bitten by this rattlesnake. And luckily, they stopped the venom from going anywhere past his wrist. But his hand.
They suck out the poison.
Basically, but his hand still was all swollen and swelled up. It looked like a big black, like his entire palm was this big black bowling ball with his five little white fingers sticking out. It's gnarly. Yeah, snakes are not cool.
No. Okay, so that's your snake update at 6:07. Time to call AMC for your HOA management needs. Association Management Concepts, the homeowner association company. Let's shift to sports, and we're going to – I want to do this early, and then we'll get back to it later on. But a local story here, because baseball opening day, Sunday, rosters have pretty much been set. And you know, if you have paid attention to the local baseball scene over the last, I don't know, decade or so, you're familiar with the Stassi family, especially in this area. Hailing from Yuba City, Max and Brock both. Max – a highly regarded prospect for a while for the A's, and now he's in the Astros organization. Brock, the older brother, he's kind of bounced around the minor leagues a little bit, 27 years old. These guys, little background on him too, from Yuba City, but you probably heard of their charity thing that they do. They do a home run derby, and it's basically they see how many home runs they can hit in 30 minutes at the Yuba City field, and they've turned that into a big charity thing. So they're pretty well known in the local baseball circles. Max has had a couple of cups of coffee in the big leagues, been back and forth, but Brock has never been there. Bounced around the minor leagues in the Phillies organization, and I remember him from my days at Sac State because he played at Nevada Reno, same conference. They would come down, have a weekend series and stuff. And in fact, he was maybe on one of the teams. I remember them getting into a fight because a Nevada team trashed the batting cage one time. I don't think he was on that team, but that's a whole different story. Anyway, I remember Brock Stassi, really good college player at UNR, got drafted by the Phillies organization and has kind of been around the minor leagues. His best season came with Reading in 2015. He hit 300, 15 homers, slugged 470. But again, never gotten to the bigs. Well, our boy Brock made the roster, everybody. So let's start with that. Brock has made the roster for the Phillies opening day. And by the way, the Phillies have a couple of local guys. You got Brock Stassi, and then you have Sac State's own Reese Hoskins, who's been tearing it up in their organization as well. But that's beside the point. So Brock Stassi makes the roster, and that's not even the best part of this story. I don't even know how to explain it. If this doesn't get you, a guy realizing his lifelong dream, here's Brock Stassi on what it's like to finally get the call. I love it. Guy can barely keep it together. And that wasn't it either. Brock Stassi continues. Congratulations to Brock Stassi of Yuba High School grad.
No, that's pretty rad. I mean, there are hundreds of players in the minor leagues that all have the same dream that he does. But when someone has their dream realized and breaks down and is willing to show vulnerability like that, the passion for the game that he has, to me, he immediately, before even swinging the bat in the majors, he becomes 10 times more valuable. Just someone who you know is going to go out there, like they said in the clip, play every game like it's your last. Congratulations, Brock. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, and just as impressive, his dad, his grandpa and his great grandpa all played minor league baseball as catchers. So to basically be from a baseball family and still be that humbled to get the call for something that it may be the only thing he's ever known. It's awesome. So congratulations to them. All right. Hey, one segment in the books. Nate Goodyear with you for 3 hours today. Matt George on the other side of the glass. We got the morning brew. We're going to tell you what's got our mind grapes all in a stew this morning when we return on Sports 1140. That is Oregon head coach Dana Altman ahead of tomorrow's Final Four matchup against North Carolina. The other side of the bracket, South Carolina and Gonzaga. This is The Drive. Nate Goodyear with you until 9 o'clock. Matt George over there, on the other side of the glass. You're going to get that today, too, since I'm doing the majority of the talking. You're going to get a lot of reflux into the mic. Kind of like that a little bit. But, yeah, you can get used to it. Come on, we all got digestive issues first thing in the morning, right? So this is The Drive, and this is The Brew. Enjoy the new McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's. Price of participation may vary for a limited time. I'm loving it. If you were to try – if you had never seen Dana Altman in your life and you were told that name and you had to describe – what you thought a man named Dana Altman looked like. Could you come up with someone that looked more like a Dana Altman than Dana Altman? I'm just curious. Do you even know?
I've never seen a picture of
him. Never seen it. Well, look him up, man. I mean, he just... I'm just wondering. If you want to jump in on the show, by the way, the perfect time to say it, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and you can text us at 44-1140. This is a guy that, you know, made his name carrying that Creighton program to prominence, and now he's at Oregon. I kind of like their chances against North Carolina, but I don't know that I can pick them straight across because if I went into this tournament saying, you know, trying to go by NBA rules, hey, who's the best player on the floor? And I chose Lonzo Ball, and I chose poorly. They got knocked out. But every year I find myself in the Sweet 16 going, hey, idiot, you chose players in college basketball, and it's about coaches in college basketball. And although Dana Altman's done a great job everywhere he's gone, I don't know that he's quite at Roy Williams' level yet.
Well, I mean, certainly you can say that, and with North Carolina... Hold on, phone's ringing.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's all right.
So many things back here. Anyway, with the way North Carolina's been playing, I mean, he said it himself in the clip that they definitely have their work cut out for them, but how do you not feel like you're on cloud nine coming off of a win against a Kansas team that was blowing everybody else out of the water? I mean, we saw a blowout coming against UC Davis as much as we were happy with their Cinderella mm-hmm. run, but they ran through everybody comfortably. And Oregon was able to not just beat them, but beat them by double digits. So if I'm Dana Altman, which, yes, he does definitely look like a Dana Altman, if I was him and if I was Oregon, I'd come in loose, relaxed, and excited, knowing, hey, we knocked off number one. There's nothing saying that we can't do it again against North Carolina.
Yeah, other side, tell us why South Carolina has a chance. I want to pick them because I love Frank Martin. And, guys, I don't know... And this is where you can chime in on the phones or on the text line. If, you know, Frank Martin isn't Bobby Knight, right? He's not throwing chairs across the gym, but that dude's pretty intense. And if it were to come out that he had, I don't want to say abused a player like Bobby Knight did, but I mean, we've seen Frank Martin put his hands on his guys. I don't ever think anything of it because he's a fiery dude that recruits fiery players, and I think that's the relationship he has with his guys. But I'm wondering, especially for our parents out there, if that's still cool coaching like that, because you don't see it as much anymore. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the players have changed at all levels. They don't necessarily respond to that tough love type of mentality. Feel like I probably would, but, you know, I'm a throwback tough guy, obviously, if you just look at this body. Moving on. Bob Melvin himself joining us on the drive earlier this week. I almost said last week. Baseball season opening up this weekend. The Giants will get things started against the Diamondbacks on Sunday. Hey, here we go, man. I mean, I was kind of on the – I'm kind of on the Dave thing where I need to have a moment that – clicks with me before it can officially be baseball season in my head. And my attitude has been screaming for it with the way that the Kings have been playing over the last couple of weeks. But it wasn't until we were down in Mesa watching the business that I was like, yeah, man, it's baseball season. Hit that spring training, get about two innings in, put down a couple tall boys, work on that tan a little bit out on the lawn. I'm ready for that.
And you guys delayed it till the very end, too. I went down there at the very beginning of March, so I've been ready for baseball for over a month now, or it seems like over a month now. And you guys talked about it. Well, Dave and Katie really talked about it when we first came back, how they weren't really ready for baseball season. And then that changed as soon as you guys went to Arizona and got to experience spring training. No, man, I'm excited. Basketball season around this time also or always gets a little dull, especially around here with the Sacramento Kings. But you never know what the A's are going to do. The Giants are... expected to be good as always. It's an exciting time to be a baseball fan.
Justin Kutcher does some baseball play-by-play for Fox. He's going to be joining us at 7:35 to get us ready for the baseball season. And in fact, Justin does a little bit of everything, so we could probably talk some college hoops with him as well. That's the other side of the DeMarcus Cousins audio. We heard him joking around during the update earlier. Make no mistake about it. This is not going to be happy good times for DeMarcus Cousins tonight, as the Kings are in New Orleans and DeMarcus will face his former team. 5 o'clock tip-off on KHTK.
Does anyone actually believe that DeMarcus didn't know that this game was on the schedule?
No.
In my mind, the second he landed in New Orleans, he looked this game up and circled it and put bullseyes all around it, because you know he's going to go off tonight. The Kings aren't going to be able to do anything about it. I think Willie Cauley-Stein said it best after the most recent Kings game. He said, you just get in his way and pray that he misses. And that's what the Kings are going to have to do tonight.
That's pretty much, that's all you can really do against a guy like that. You know, it's always, there's always the mixed emotions with stuff like this. And you wonder, you know, because you've got plenty of people, you know, the whole black cloud thing with DeMarcus being gone. But then, you know, you hear nobody liked the guy. And then Ben McLemore is saying he misses his big fella. And you know that those type of things are there. And all I want to say is, man, I'm sure that it's both a little bit. You know, when you hear stuff like that, I'm sure you miss the guy a little bit, but I'm sure that there are also plenty of people, or maybe even a part of Ben McLemore, that is fine.
And there's going to be a lot of overreactions tonight, too, Nate. I mean, we're going to get, especially if Cousins goes off and gets his 40 or 50, which some people are projecting, which they might not be wrong. There's going to be a lot of overreactions, a lot of I told you so's, we should have never traded DeMarcus Cousins, all this nonsense. I'm just excited to see a young team take on a team in DeMarcus Cousins and see really what both sides have to offer, because both teams at this point are trying to have as good of a draft pick as possible, and New Orleans is trying to make sure the Kings get the worst one possible.
Yeah, well, and you hope that the bigs don't take it easy on him, and I don't, you know, by that, I believe that everyone's going to be playing hard and that they want to win, but I'm talking about going to the next level. Because this is DeMarcus Cousins you're talking about. He's going to be ridiculously fired up for this game, and you know you can get under his skin. Don't waste that opportunity if you're Willie Cauley-Stein or Scalabissiere, who would, you know, obviously DeMarcus is physically superior to those guys, but we know the drill. I think you can get in DeMarcus's head tonight because he's going
to
want it.
So you had to put money on it. Cousins gets a technical tonight, yes or no?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I would say yes. Morning Brew brought to you by McDonald's. Again, Justin Kutcher coming up at 7:30. We got plenty of college basketball for you. 3 for Madness coming up at 7:15 when we return. We got a college basketball player of the year. We'll make some predictions for the Final Four, because why not? This is The Drive on Sports 1140. Welcome back. Nate Goodyear with you right up until 9 o'clock. No Dave, no Katie today. It's just me and Matt taking you right up until the weekend, 9 o'clock. And you'll enjoy it. I promise you will. 339-1140, 800-920-1140 are the phone numbers. The text line, 44-1140. Now, the good thing, Matt, before we get to this college basketball nonsense, the good thing is with you here, we can actually, you brought up the Sac Republic, their home opener this weekend. We can actually talk soccer.
A little bit. Forget the rest of the rundown. Let's do it.
We got soccer. We got, you said it was WrestleMania.
WrestleMania weekend? Heck yeah.
Golly.
It's just a good time to be alive.
Speaking of, just briefly about soccer, if you haven't seen the bust of Cristiano Ronaldo yet, that looks, I don't know. It looks like if Cristiano Ronaldo's parents were actually first cousins that had, like, physical deformities.
I was going to say, it looks like Ronaldo had to do a self-portrait in art class in, like, first grade, so he just kind of did
it. Or one of those ones. I remember in art class, I had to take, full disclosure here, I had to take 3D art twice in high school.
Did you fail it?
I didn't fail it, but I did get a
up?
D. See, the thing was, I passed it by high school standards, but in order to get into college, and this is where it actually kind of turned. I was trying really hard to get into St. Mary's when I was a senior, and they have slightly stricter requirements than, I don't know, going to a state college or something like that. So I had to get at least a C in 3D art, or maybe it was a B or something like that. So anyway, I had to take it twice. And one of the early on things, you know, like try to do a self-portrait but without looking at it. Is that right? So that's kind of how
So, like, based off of memory of what you look like, or
yes.
you couldn't look down at the piece
yes.
of paper
or
while you're drawing?
Maybe. I mean, this was long enough ago. I'm not old, but I'm old enough that this was long enough ago. I don't remember real well. We might have had to look in a mirror while we did it. But either way, the point is, that's kind of how this turned out. And I think the funniest thing I saw about it, and I wish I would cite, if I could remember who posted this, I would mention it on Twitter. It's got a side-by-side of Ronaldo and the thing. It says, you know, when they've got fire tweets and then they send a selfie, that's the difference between the two. You see those tweets and you're like, oh, what does this person look like? And then they post that first selfie and it's like the, hurr! Anywho, that's enough.
There are some interesting comparisons on Twitter to who and what that bust looks like, and they're pretty creative if you ever have time to just mosey on through Twitter.
Well, maybe the one of the better ones, and it is kind of an inside joke here in Sacramento, and I realize I say this just after I talked about how, you know, Ronaldo's parents being first cousins and everything, but that thing is darn near a dead ringer for our very own Dave Deuce Mason.
Almost spot on. And someone found a picture. I can't remember who it was, but someone found a picture with the similar, barely any teeth, but kind of side grin that Deuce does. And it's like, it's almost a perfect match. It's phenomenal. And Deuce promptly blocked that person.
Hey, you know what? They deserved it. That's rude. I don't blame Deuce for a second. He should block me for even bringing it up, but yeah. Anyway, it's 6:38 on the drive. Time to call AMC for your HOA management needs. Association Management Concepts, the homeowner association company. So it's college hoops. We have Final Four this weekend. You got South Carolina taking on Gonzaga and North Carolina and Oregon. I was talking in the last segment, Matt, about, you know, choosing coaches over at, yeah, like Dana Altman is no Roy Williams, right? But as I was saying that, even, I mean, would you consider Dana Altman a Bill Self? And Bill Self's not still in it. I mean, what have they won, 13 straight Big 12 titles or something dumb like that? So, I mean, I don't know. And then on the other side, you've got Frank Martin taking on Gonzaga. And Gonzaga, I don't know if they, I feel like they've reached that saturation point where, you know, for so long they were that Cinderella. Everyone was kind of rooting for them. I don't know if it turned with Adam Morrison being in tears and then ending up as a total bust in the NBA. I think it coincided with that and Gonzaga starting to consistently get those higher seeds, like the top four type of seeds that make people say, yeah, this isn't really a Cinderella anymore. But you don't have that groundswell of Gonzaga support. I think there's a lot more South Carolina support, especially when you watch. And Frank Martin's a polarizing coach. Anyone that's that fiery is, especially someone that comes from, you know, the Bob Huggins tree. I love absolute nut jobs like that. And, you know, guys that are, I've said this before, but you see the passion with which he coaches, that he roams the sidelines with. And then you see the way their players play, and Bob Huggins is the same way. His passion and energy and charisma, I think, could make just about anyone that's even watching on TV say, yeah, I'd play for that guy. I'd go get a floor burn for that guy. And then to see his players, he recruits guys with that same mentality. That, to me, is fun to watch. Guys that you, and that's what college basketball is all about. Guys that are going to leave it all out there. I've made my stance very clear on the sham that is NCAA amateurism. All right? It's a joke that hundreds of millions of dollars are made off the backs of these kids, and they're expected to just be fine with a scholarship and an education that they might not even complete and could quite possibly never even use. But if you want to put all that aside and try to not play politics and just enjoy college basketball for what it is, South Carolina, to me, is the story for you. And Frank Martin talked about having a team of guys with veterans as far as college basketball goes, older players, upperclassmen, and how they find a way to get it done in the tournament. Now, first things first, tell me that doesn't make you want to play for that guy. Second thing, doesn't he kind of sound like Jesse the Body Ventura? Just a little bit. The older we get, the less we give in to the emotion of the moment. Anywho, college hoops. I'm rooting for South Carolina and Oregon. And I just generally despise Oregon. But at this point, West Coast, Best Coast, tell me otherwise. Justin Kutcher at 7:30 to talk a little bit of baseball. When we return, the Kings are in New Orleans taking on DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe you've heard of him. We'll look at that matchup, have some fun with audio, and look at some other NBA happenings. This is The Drive on Sports 1140. Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports does some play-by-play baseball, college football, college basketball, you name it. He's on the call for them. We'll have him at 7:30. No Dave, no Katie today. Just Nate and Matt holding down the fort. Kids in charge of the hen house or whatever the heck. It's home alone around here. We're playing with Dad's aftershave and setting booby traps and going to the grocery store on our own, making TV dinners and lighting off firecrackers in the cookware. It's a blast.
I got my door rigged for when Steve Goss comes in.
See, it's perfect. So if you want to jump in, we're here for you. 339-1140, 800-920-1140, or you can text us at 44-1140. We'll talk Kings in New Orleans in just a second here, but a quick response to the last segment on the text line, again at 44-1140, talking about the compensation of college athletes. And we have a text come in that says, I played collegiate sports, you get compensated plenty. And my point was not that the compensation that college athletes get right now isn't good. There's obviously a value that you can put on a college scholarship and all that type of stuff, but there's a couple of issues I have with that. Number one, it's not about plenty. It's first off, a scholarship doesn't put food on your table. And it doesn't necessarily put a decent roof over your head. It definitely doesn't pay for your clothes or transportation or any of those type of things, especially when you aren't able to get a job to pay for those things because you're either not allowed by the NCAA or you simply don't have the time because you're working well over 40 hours a week between school and trying to be an athlete anyway. The next part of it is, even if it is plenty, it's still not even close to the proper proportion based on what's brought in. If you think about this, and this was just recently released by ESPN, and it's done by some outlet almost every year, but the highest paid state employees by state, listen to this, of the 50 U.S. states, this is from a USA Today report, a college football or men's basketball coach is the highest paid employee in 39 of them. These are state employees. And that's not even talking about some names that aren't on the list. Guys like Coach K at Duke or David Shaw at Stanford. They don't count because those are private institutions. 39 out of the 50 states, the highest paid state employee is a college football or men's basketball coach. Jim Harbaugh made $9 million last year. And you know I love Jim Harbaugh. But you're telling me he couldn't take half of that and put it in his players' pockets and make their lives better off, and he would still be just fine. That's all I'm saying.
Especially with the ratio of college athletes that actually make it versus the ones that, right, that don't. We always focus on the stars and the big names, but I mean, you look at even factories like Kentucky. So many players out of Kentucky end up going to play in the NBA, but there's still another 6, 7, 8 guys on that roster that were part of a major program that get nothing out of it.
Yep, and this is a principle that and this is kind of what baffles me about that other crowd. And I mean, whatever, you know, I don't know that I can be the guy to sway anyone's opinion, but it seems to me that in any other walk of life, if you're talented at something, you know, and you're looking to be compensated, something a coach used to tell me, good enough isn't. And I think that applies to anything, and make no mistake about it, These guys are basically doing this professionally, whether they're getting compensated as professionals or not. This is their job. This is their life. So, I mean, yeah, a college scholarship, great, dude. Life is good. You can be a big man on campus. But is it still a decent portion based on the money that's brought in? I don't think so. I don't think so. But let's fight about it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Or you can text at 44-1140. So as we get into this and moving on to the NBA, the Kings are, of course, in New Orleans. That's where Dave and Katie both are, as a matter of fact. Dave will be taking in that game tonight. Katie will be broadcasting the game. Why is that a big story, you ask? DeMarcus Cousins, you've heard of him. He used to play here in Sacramento for like 6.5 years or something crazy like that. Seems like forever ago now, but this is the first time he'll be facing his former squad, and he was asked what his feelings on that were yesterday. Oh, DeMarcus is such a card.
No chance he didn't know that.
No. Come on, he's playing coy. This is the petty wars, man. This is the same type of stuff that had LeBron James mocking Lonzo Ball's jumper in warmups yesterday. Did you see that? NBA players are the pettiest human beings on the planet, and I love every minute of it. That's what I enjoy about the NBA, whether it's this or the LeBron thing or Russell Westbrook pretending he doesn't know who James Harden is, Kobe Bryant tanking a playoff game out of spite. It's petty, man, and it's beautiful, and we're getting to the best time of the season. And as you mentioned, Matt, DeMarcus is going to go off tonight, and there are still, and I mean, these are like people that I like to read and pay attention to on social media and stuff, but there are a lot of people that are still wanting to die on this hill, and I would just say the dude is gone, man. Yeah, we're going to have to face him a few times a year. You can reminisce, whatever. Enjoy the guy from afar. But he's gone. It's over. You're still losing sleep, wasting time on social media, getting all tied up, trying to convince people of what? That the Kings shouldn't have traded DeMarcus Cousins? That they got ripped off in the trade? Let's call it true. Fine. You can have that. We'll concede the point. The Kings are awful. They got hosed on the trade. They gave up their best. I'll concede every last one of those things to you. Now what? I mean, does that now what? What is the next hill that you're going to choose to die on? Is it going to be Vlade losing his job? I don't know. When? Have that. Fine. They're wrong. They did it bad. Now what's your plan? I ain't feeling all hot takey. It's Friday, man. I shouldn't be doing that. I don't know. It seems like there are more worthwhile things to get your panties in a bunch over. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Kings and Pelicans tonight. That's a 5 o'clock tip-off from KHTK. We've got 1 hour in the books. Dave and Katie in New Orleans. I'm Nate on my own until 9 o'clock. Justin Kutcher will join me at 7:30, and Matt George is going to be chiming in here and there to keep me from having a bunch of dead air. I only had 56 minutes worth of content, you guys, so we're going to have to start something new here. Final Four is coming up this weekend, plus we're going to take your phone calls if you want to jump in. The Final Four, and I've got this a few years back. And I was filling in for Grant one time. I know a lot of you probably haven't heard this, but I was told I was going to be doing a college basketball preview with John Rothstein, a prominent college basketball analyst. It did not go according to plan. You're going to want to hear this when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.